Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Thank you, Father. Thank you that your Spirit reigns in this place. Thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is here, Lord. And that because you walk with us, where we walk is holy ground. Lord, thank you that we can claim your inheritance, Lord. We are your children, Lord. We are children of the Most High. And we don't have to walk with our heads hanging down. We walk proudly. We can claim all that you've promised. They're yours. All his promises are yours to come true if you just take them. Your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord, in each one of our hearts, in our families, in our church, Lord, in our city. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us to be those that will carry your plan, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name. Thank you, prayer team. There is nothing that is more valuable than to come into the presence of our Lord. And I thank God for giving us this worship team. They take us into that place. Amen. Thank you, worship team. We have been blessed. Well, I hope that every one of you had a good Thanksgiving. Isn't that a kind of a neat time when we look forward to being with family? We look forward to just a time of joy, time of just being together, and sometimes with people that maybe you haven't been around in a while. And it does bring us together in a just a different atmosphere. And, you know, Thanksgiving, the day was designated for our nation to give thanks to God. And, you know, it's once a year that the nation does that as a corporate. But we know that as children of God, we have a lot to be thankful every day of our lives. Amen. Amen. It's good that we can do it as a nation, but it's so much better that we can do it as individuals. You know, there's so much that God has done for us. You know, even though the nation comes together and give thanks, sometimes I think not all homes are giving thanks to God. A lot of it has become a time of just of getting together, which is a wonderful thing. But sometimes I would imagine that a lot of homes leave the thank you God out of their Thanksgiving. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We know that we wouldn't be who we are and where we are if it wouldn't be for the grace of God. And so this one day is to place any thought of diets somewhere in the back shelf. Did anybody decide that this was the day that you guys were going to start a diet? I don't think so. That's exactly it. Sometime the first part of the year, we're going to start looking in those back shelves and taking down all those dust and say, you know, we always go for that. We're going to start the diet January 1, and it's over January 2. So, but honestly, it's a time that we don't hold back on our intake. We don't hold back on how we prepare to put out our dinners. I mean, you know, the tables get purdied up, and sometimes us guys get purdied up, you know, okay. Wearing nice stuff. And so it's just a good time to really honor what God has done for us. And I hope that, and I shouldn't say hope, I know that you guys don't forget why you're celebrating that day. It is a time of giving thanks. And most of us have a beautifully set table with lots of good food choices, from the main course to desserts, a feast for the taking. So, what if, after our prayer of thanks, we just sat there and looked at the food, but never got a serving? I know. You think about that. You know, here's a beautifully set table, and everything you look at out there, you know, from your turkeys and your cranberries and your pumpkin pies, whatever is out there, and it's just there, and you're all sitting around and you're looking, and all this time you don't reach out, you don't take it. So this is the message for today. In this book, there is a feast. In this book, there is a feast that's for our nourishment. And this nourishment is not only for our spiritual selves, but it's also for our bodies. The words that are within this book are food, they're nourishment from the voice of God, from the Word of God. And yet sometimes we just sit and look and never take. That's a nice scripture. I memorized that one, but you're just looking at it. You're not grabbing it. You're not receiving what's out there sitting on that beautifully set table that God has provided for you. A few moments ago, we declared God's word upon little Ben. And I know that each one of us here, as those words were being spoken into little Ben's life, that we believe and we trust that this is God's spoken word. And we believe that these words that we spoke into little Ben are God's heart for Ben, and that one day these words will come to pass. God is not one to lie. Whatever he said, it is. If he said it, it is. And so we may not see some of the words pronounced upon Ben, but it's going to happen. Maybe not in our eyes. Maybe we're going to move elsewhere, or who knows where God's going to take each one of us. But today there were words pronounced over a little guy that has no idea in the natural what's going on. But guess what? His little spirit, it's just soaking it up. His spirit knows what has been pronounced upon him, because you know what? It was just an echo of God's word upon him. That's all we are. We just speak God's word, and we are just saying what God wants to speak into all of our hearts. And so little Ben, he don't know what his life is going to be like. He doesn't know the excitement that awaits him as God takes him into this place where, as it was spoken earlier, that he will be a man of God, a man after God's heart. And we have to keep on believing, and we have to keep on speaking into this child's life, just as we do even to those that are in our families. You know, I see Pastor Henry sometimes walking around with some of our young guys, and I know what he says. You know, you're a man of God. You are. He just speaks into these children's lives. And you know what? For them, it may seem like it's just, oh, that's just Pastor Henry again. But it's not just a passing word. It is something that is going to penetrate the depths of whoever those words are spoken to, and someday they will come to pass. May it be today. So I want to tell you, even as adults, if God is giving you a word, if God is directing you to a scripture in this beautifully set table, don't just look at it as just, I read another scripture. Think about it. This is the word of God, the voice of God that was just for you, for this day, for this day. And so I want to put up a couple of scriptures up there. And the first one is 1 Peter 2:24. And these are scriptures that we are all familiar with. And it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, you have been healed. Amen. And the next one is Matthew 11:28. And it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is Jesus talking. And the third one is Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Three scripture verses. And these are just three examples that God gave me out of a whole banquet that awaits you here. But these are just three scriptures that you can draw from. And when you look at, you know, that these scriptures are only three, but they are life-changing. There's countless more that you'll find here, but these scriptures are life-changing if we receive them, if we take. And these are just words, but they're not just words. These are words from God. We constantly declare them and say amen to them. But then you look, and this is where I want to look at, is that you take a scripture like the first one that we put up there, and it says that by his stripes we have been healed. And how many of us, when we pray for someone, you know, that's one of the things that we, you know, somebody needs healing, somebody is hurting, and that's one of the things that we declare upon them. You know, by your stripes, you are healed. And it says, doesn't say you will be. It says you are. Okay? It says you are healed. And yet, even when we pray for someone or even for ourselves, we can take this scripture and we're thinking, even as we're praying, we might be saying, well, maybe this scripture is not for right now. Maybe God doesn't want to heal her this day. What if God wants to make this happen another day? We kind of excuse ourselves from that place that maybe my prayer, maybe what I'm doing isn't going to work, so let's get a way out of here. But what are we doing here? the what ifs that come with this scripture. What if it's for then? What if it's for not for this person now? Whatever it may be, all those things that come into question, that's not our problem. You know, how God is going to do something isn't up to us.
Amen.
Our part is to believe that if he said that we are healed, there's no more questions.
Amen.
There's no more questions. We are. And if we start thinking in those lines that what if there's something else coming along, we have just possibly taken away God's will to heal that person right then and there. And so, you know, the word tells us that as Jesus is in heaven, so are we on this earth. And he is healthy. There's nothing wrong with Jesus up there. So there are things to look at that take away that. The other one was, it says that in Matthew, it says that he will give you rest when you come burdened. We can read that. It says, come to me all who you are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. How many times do you lie in your bed at night, unable to go to sleep because you're thinking of what's going to happen tomorrow? That possibly because you had something not go so right this day, that now you got to face it again tomorrow.
Amen.
What's he saying there? Say, come to me. Jesus is saying, come to me. Go to sleep. I'm on it. I'll take care of it. Rest. All those things that have been upon you, you know, it ain't going to change overnight. And God's already gone way ahead of you before you are even thinking of what am I going to do? And then again, the third one was Romans 8:1. No condemnation. And is it possible that we could see ourselves the way that God sees us? He doesn't look at us and, you know, hide his face from us. We are righteous because of Jesus. He doesn't see us that way. And on the other hand, could we possibly look at our brother and sister and see them in the same way with no condemnation upon them? That's not how God sees them either. And sometimes we can hold those kind of things over the people that we love the most because we think that maybe they don't quite fit our view of how they should be. We're taking God's place and determining what that person's day or life is going to be like. And so three scriptures, three very powerful scriptures, but just examples of the things that God has spoken, and yet if we start getting our own selves involved in how this should be determined, we just took away whatever God wanted to do. We took away that the strength of that. God, you know, one of the things that Jesus dealt with whenever he was having his ministry was unbelief. And think about that. Every time that we make a statement like that and we're putting the what if right after that, that unbelief is coming into play. And Jesus couldn't minister when that was around. He had to take people away from that environment of unbelief so that he could do what God had set for him to do. So don't join in with all the what ifs. Don't join in with that. If God said it, it is. So as we take on each of our days, we tend to allow the negatives, all the what ifs, override God's truth. We give permission for things to enter into our life that never even had a right to be there. And it says, for an example, you feel a pain. You're feeling a pain in your body. It says, What if this pain turns out to be cancer? You know, something you've been dealing with. It says, my friend had the same symptom and it turned out to be cancer. And you know what? All the enemy needs is a little crack, a little place to sneak in and convince you that this is greater than maybe you ate too much turkey over the weekend, you know? And so, you know, we all go through our times that our bodies maybe not feel well. And that's part of the thing with this message. I hope that we get to a point that every day you wake up and you expect to have a great day with no pains, with no sicknesses, and that nothing will come against your day. And so we need to get to that place that whatever God has promised us, whatever God has declared, that is what we are to receive. And so do we awaken each morning with thankfulness, joy, and expectation of God's word being fulfilled, or do we give focus to an ailment or a bad circumstance? The things that happen in our lives are those that we agree and cooperate with. If we give place to the enemy, he will take it. And so, what are we agreeing with? You know, we can agree on the positive side of things. And I'm here to tell you that God is not one to be negative. God is good. There is no negative. There is no bad. There is no, he's not out there to spew his wrath on you. He's there to love you. He's there to lift you. He's there to answer all your woes and all the things that may be coming against you. He's not one of negativity, but we do know where the negativity comes from. And so if we wholeheartedly came into agreement with what God said, how our day would be, what if we accepted these scriptures as something that has already been granted? You know, he did this many, many years ago. It's not just for you today. There was people that were not feeling well or people that were going through some things years ago, and yet this word stood strong and this word took him past those areas. And guess what? It's going to go on too. You know, when we're out somewhere else, this will continue. And that's where we can hope that just as we prayed for little Ben, that one day he's going to be telling people about this.
Amen.
Because he's already been told he is. So it's our children that will continue God's plan. You know, we're just part of it. We're just part of God's plan, and we're going to go until we can't go no more. And then we hope that we've set a foundation for those little guys that are up and coming now that will take our place. So what if we accept these scriptures as something that has already been granted? All we have to do is reach out and serve ourselves from God's abundance, a feast for our taking. What if I expected that my family would be well? That if our families are going through maybe some things that are not so good right now that we don't approve of, what if I expected, what if I awakened with this expectation that it's not going to stay that way? That God said that my children are going to inherit his kingdom. What if I stood on what God says about unity, that we can be a family united instead of thinking, you know, bringing condemnation even in our prayers. Oh, Lord, do this for my daughter or my son or whatever it may be. Looking at the negative things rather than to see them flourishing, to see them in this place that that you want them to be and where he wants them to be. What if we looked at our health, and if even today we're walking in a place that we have a hurt, or we haven't been told that we have something, we have been told that we have something that is devastating to our future. What if we expected that that is no longer there? This is a doctor's diagnosis, not God's diagnosis, not God's truth. Okay? What if we just didn't go for all that other stuff? And we think about it, when we buy something, buy a car, we buy a refrigerator, whatever it is, you know, what if we expected these things to just last forever? You know, God doesn't give us junk, right? He doesn't give us junk. And so instead of you buy it and the next thing you're thinking, oh, no, what if it breaks down? Or, you know, you start thinking of all the negative things that could be coming against you rather than say, Lord, thank you. That car that you led me to, that's going to last for 20 years or whatever the case may be. Expect for the things that the material things that God has blessed you with. And if we really believe that God has blessed us with it, they're going to last you a long time. I know there's been times that our refrigerator started kind of messing up and wasn't looking good. We went and laid hands on it. Some people are going to laugh, you know, but we prayed for it. And we said, Lord, you gave us this. And guess what? Years later, it's still working. It worked. It really, really does. And even when you think about even the when you travel, you know, we'll always go out and say a prayer, Lord, protect us. What if we really believe that? That there is no vehicles that are going to come in our path, or that there is no other drivers that are going to mess up our drive, or if we're on a plane that those angels are carrying that plane on their wings, and that there's nothing going to happen to us because we are there. We are there. And where we are, who's there with us?
Lord.
Okay? The Lord will protect us. And so when we look at all these things, we can look at that there is no coincidences in our life. Nothing happens just, oh, wow, how did that come to be? Everything that God has for us is because he loves us. As we look at, you know, guys, you look at your wives. Was that a coincidence? I hope you don't think so. I hope that you prayed for that woman that you're sitting next to, and God brought her to you. And ladies, I hope that you see the same thing for your husband. And I know some of us here today have lost our spouses, but those years that we had them, or whether it's spouses or children, they were blessed years. God blessed us with people in our lives. And so we're thankful for all that God has done for us. Expect for things to be right in your life. Don't let that enemy go through that little crack and convince you that you're not worthy of God's blessings. Now, if we have a pain in our body or a bad family issue, we can't ignore it. And we can't say it's not there. If that pain is there, it's there. And the thing is that you don't have to put up with it.
Amen.
Don't have to put it. We know it's there, but what we can do is you confront it. And how do you confront it? You confront it with this word. You know, yes, pain, I feel you, you're there, but you don't belong there. Amen. Get out of here.
Amen.
Amen. Declare God's truth to every situation so that the condition doesn't remain. And like I said, the enemy will try to bring things into your life. And for a moment, you may have to see them. You know, we would be lying to ourselves if we would say that if there isn't something, a pain in our sight, that it's really not there. But you don't have to put up with it. Deal with it. Bring God into it, and he'll take care of it. Let him fight our battles. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have been equipped with all we can ever need to be a conqueror each of our days. More than a conqueror. Very good. Jesus' finished work on the cross not only guaranteed our salvation, but also brought wholeness to our earthly bodies. What if we truly believe that as children of God, we can bring heaven to earth? It's just like that song said a little bit earlier. Heaven comes to earth if we would just believe it, accept it. And to think that in heaven, there is no sickness. There's no tears of sadness. There's no voice of condemnation. So if we can accept that and pray that, Lord, your kingdom come, how can we take these other things and just kind of toss them off to the side and take on the condemnation and take on those pains that are within us? Allow for God's kingdom to be, you walk in it. You walk in the kingdom of God. And until that date of expiration comes upon us, we are here to be in his service. As a believer, regardless of the capacity we serve, we are to tell all those in our path about Jesus, that they may accept him as Lord and Savior, but not only to tell them about Jesus, but to show them by who we are, to show them how we find peace in the middle of the storms of our lives, by a positive attitude and demeanor, having health, having prosperity. You know, every one of us sitting here, we claim to be spirit-filled people. And if that's true, should not the fruit of the Spirit in us be what Galatians 5:22 says it is? And we'll read that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So when you look at this, if the Spirit lives within us, this should be what we show those around us. There should be a smile on our face at all times. And why would anybody want to be like us if this isn't what they see? Why would that person that has never met Jesus want to come and say, I want to be just like you, if we're not showing a fruitfulness coming from us? And so some of us walk around with our face looking like we just sucked the lemon. We do, you know. We walk around like, you know, that people see us and we're downhearted. And like I said, it's not a pretty thing to look at. But instead of that, we we have that sour look in our face. And we are children of God. His Spirit is living in us. And just knowing that should put a smile on our face. We should be out smiling. We should be out there joyful. No matter what your day is like. Because if you really are standing on God's word, your day is going to be good. And you're not going to stand for those things that the enemy is throwing at you. Because you know better. You know that your God is for you and not against you. And so it's something that if we are out to convince the world that it's good to be a Christian, we better have a different demeanor even about ourselves. We better show the world this is why you want to be like I am.
Amen.
As we take on each day, are we relying on the Holy Spirit to guide us through it? Or do we give place to doubt and unbelief? When our eyes are on the opposition, then they are not where they belong, on God. How much time do we spend giving the devil more attention than we give God? How much time do we spend saying all these prayers against the devil instead of praying to God and allowing him to come through and take care of him? You know, the devil doesn't really care about you. He wants to hurt Jesus through us. He's against Jesus. And every time that we hurt, Jesus doesn't like it. And so when we start giving that attention where it doesn't belong, at that point, then we come into a place that now God is kind of just waiting and saying, when are you going to bring me into your day? When are you going to trust me and allow me to do what I want to do for you each of your days? You know, God spoke this world into existence. So why would we think that he cannot speak to each of our days? Why would that be so hard? You know, we can accept that we have light and that we have, a ground to walk on and say, yeah, God created that. But why can't we take that one word that he has in here for us and not trust that that word is going to get us through our day? And then why would that word not be to prosper and not to harm us? Why would evidence of his love not be in every one of his words? I want to put up there Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so as we look at that scripture, I hope you identify with that. I hope you can see that it says those who love him. I hope you all love him. I hope you can see that we have all been called to God's purpose. And then it says that we know that he works in all things for our good. Sometimes what we go through brings us to ask how God could possibly be in it. When something doesn't fit just the way we thought it should, we begin to question God. We blame and get angry with him. We curse the devil and condemn ourselves for being in that place. We find ourselves in a place where we can't go forward because we're so focused on where we are at that moment. And we forget that we have a God that is always with us, the same God that pulled us out the last time we were there. Same place, different circumstance.
Amen.
We shut doors to the only one that can walk us through them. He is as close to you when you are in your valley as he is when you are on your mountain.
Yes, sir.
What if we could embrace those times when life doesn't seem so good and it seems that your world is falling apart? Instead of just sitting, what if we reached out and served ourselves from God's table of abundance? Maybe a big portion of Hebrews 13:5. He will never leave us or forsake us. Just another place to reach to and know that regardless of where you find yourself, he's with you, he's walking with you, and he ain't about to let go of you. He hasn't up to now. Just when you think of all the times that you went through, sometimes it's like the memories of all those things that he did in the past are gone. We forget because we're so involved in where we are today, and you know, because it's right in front of your eyes, that you forget that there was even something bigger, something greater that he walked you through years ago. He was there. He is there today. And so when you look at this, just remember that he is with you and never forsakes you. And that there are no what ifs when you stand on God's truth. If you declare God's truth, there is no anything else to it. There is no more, well, this is God's truth, but what if this other thing's going to happen? There is no what ifs. It's all true. Take it. Stand on it. But it ain't going to happen if this thing sits on your table and you don't know what there is out there. This concludes my message. And I hope that somewhere in your heart, you come to God in wherever place you are. Once a month, first part of the month, we join in corporate communion. And so today, as we begin, get the servers to serve you. And what we do is we pass out the elements, two elements, ask that you would hold on to them until we are all have been served. And at the end of the communion, that you would pass the little cups to the sides and somebody will pick them up for you. Every other Sunday, other than the first part of the month, we have communion in the back for those of you that haven't been with us. And there you can go every Sunday and partake with your family, if you like, on your own. But we value communion, the Lord's Supper in this church. There is great value to it because it says in the Bible that we do this in remembrance of what Christ did on the cross. And when Christ hung on that cross, he took upon himself every sin that had been committed even before you were born, past, present, and future. Every sin. And so he took care of our place in his heaven for eternity. But something that we seem to kind of put on a bottom shelf when we come to communion is that it's so easy for us to accept that we are saved because he took upon himself all our sins. But think about it. It also says that the bread was for the healing of our bodies. He not only was thinking about when we get to heaven, he was thinking about when we live here. A lot of us, I hear a lot, not a lot, but I hear some people say, I can't wait to get to heaven. You know, one day we're all going to be there. But at the same time, while you're here, he wanted us to be healthy. He didn't want us to be hurting. And so as we take communion today, not only realize the meaning of the blood of Jesus, but realize his broken body, the abuse that he took, the hurt that he took, so that we could be whole on this earth. When we partake of the two elements, what I would like us to do is just to take a moment and bow your heads. And if there was something today, a place that you're finding yourself, just as you bow your heads, I just want you to call out to God in your heart and know that whatever it is, our God is greater than anything that is coming against you. So on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it. And he took it and he gave it to his disciples. He said, for the healing of our bodies, for his broken body, please take this for the healing of your bodies, for the wholeness of your bodies. And in the same way, he took the cup. It's a symbol, he said, of his blood that covered all our sins, past, present, and future, that no condemnation could come upon you. He doesn't see you. He sees the righteousness of his Son. Take the cup. Enjoy your day. Know that he's with you, never leaves you, never forsakes you. Receive his blessings. You're dismissed. Go love your families. And if you need any prayer, there'll be someone here to pray with you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You could connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.